I'd like to call the Government Operations Committee meeting to order. The time is 10:40. Roll call, please.
Congressman Keane.
Present.
Second Speaker Redcorn. Congresswoman Rebar.
Here.
Speaker Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Chair Goodfox.
Present. Next item on our agenda is prayer. Assistant Principal Chief, will you please say our afternoon prayer?
Sure, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to have the ability to meet and do our best to make good decisions for our Osage people. I want to ask for safe travels and keep our young men safe as they play football this evening and tomorrow evening. There's strife all over the world, Lord, and just from right here in Little Pawhuska, I just want to ask that you take care of that and be with Congress as they conduct their business. Please forgive us for our sins, Lord. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Next is approval of minutes.
Chair.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Move to approve the minutes of November 5th as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. Thank you. We are now on ONCR 26-03, a resolution to set the compensation and reimbursement allowance for the boards and commissions of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2026. The sponsor is Congresswoman Lemon. You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everyone. This resolution is based on how our law, our code is written, is required in order for all of our boards and commissions to be paid. And we did miss this. I'm going to be very upfront. We missed this in our last CJO session, budgetary session. And so this is for us to make sure that we are following the law like we need, should be, and getting this resolution out there. I do want to remind everyone that this resolution did say every other year, and that had been amended out before. So we were doing it like every other year. And at this point, it's going to be required every year. So this is nothing more than just to allow for the missed resolution and allow for the boards and commissions to get paid, to start getting paid for this fiscal year.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Congresswoman Lemon, is there any change from the last resolution that was passed as far as the amounts go in there?
There has been no change in the amounts, ma'am.
Thank you.
And I actually have a copy of all the budgets, if you would like one, that they are attached to. Of course, they're not in this resolution.
Right. That's good information. That's all I really needed to know about it. Thank you.
Committee, any other discussion? Congressman Keane.
Chair, thank you. So in the spring of 24, I came to this body. This resolution, I want you to look at Bill ONCA 25113, subsection A 5106, compensation. I'm going to read this entirely. All boards and commissions shall be designated with one of the following: advisory board, business board, health board, or non-business board. Compensation shall be set by congressional resolution. Compensation shall be in the form of a stipend. Again, we don't have to have these boards classified like this. It makes it a lot simpler. We already fund these boards in our budgetary session. We put in the amount. For some odd reason, Assistant Chief Walker kind of explained the rationale, which I agree with, in the beginning of this government. You know, the board, they needed a uniform way to classify these boards because these are different boards. They do different work, right? So now we're tied into this rigid system where I get board members constantly, hey, I'm out of travel money. We have 7 months left in the fiscal year. all this stuff, because we're still with the resolution, because we classify them and we put these boards into neat little boxes when reality's different, we're handcuffing ourselves in the way we do this. I've talked to our legal counsel, Trey. So I'm going to support this resolution now, but in the future, I'm going to try again. I would highly encourage my colleagues, please, we don't have to, the boards exist. There doesn't have to be law that says they're a specific type of board. They just exist. That's it. Like I said, they're already getting paid through our budgetary process. Let's try to make it simpler and cleaner and do it like that. So I support this, but in the future, I do think it'll be, in time and resources, a huge advantage to stop in the law having us tied to a resolution like this and just support a board with a budget. So that's all I have for now. I look forward to the debate. Thank you.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, then Congresswoman Revard.
Congressman King, I don't disagree with you that this we could change this and take a look at it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with. The only thing I did want to add to what you said is I do believe by that the 2513 that you just read, I think we did away with the travel portion of it. So now during this budgetary session, each board was able to bring to us their travel needs, which I am in 100% agreement with. So I support this resolution as it's written as well, because that's what the law carries for the boards and commissions to get their stipend. And I am not opposed to looking at it going forward in the future. I agree that our boards are important to the nation, and we need to have law that serves them and the people the best that it can. Thank you.
Congresswoman Revard.
Thank you, Chair. So let's just talk about a scenario that's going to happen, and it will in this next budgetary session. If we were to address this, say Deer and Hunka, they're going to submit a budget, and I've served on a board, and I'm going to say, well, I'm sitting here on this board, I do a lot. So what, we can just put our own salary? Yeah. Congressman Keene, I mean, they knocked that out. Oh, okay. Well, I want to make a motion. We make as much as Congress. I want to make a motion. We make as much of Congress. Boom. Second. All right. Wow. Everybody's making $75,000 a year because there's nothing in place. We've already learned this with our Minerals Council. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to open up something, because this is structure. Osage is like structure. It gives them a guide. So I'm just saying, as we create and develop, and I'm going to support it, I agree with you that, is this necessary to classify? No, because we've already established in law that they're a board. But when it comes to compensation, knowing Congresswoman Edwards as I did for some time, she probably could foresee this, because it's going to be a problem. I guarantee you every board's going to come up here and fight at this podium to say, wait, I work just as hard as gaming. Because now you've taken out that they're a business board. What are you going to say? That gaming, the commissioners are going to come up here and say, well, I regulate that revenue. I should get paid more than they do. I protect that asset. How are we as a body going to determine that if we don't have something in place? Now, maybe it's time to do a board study. Maybe OFPR could do that. But I'm saying, if we're going to address it, let's start it sooner than later, because when it comes during session, during all the requests, I promise you, this board is going to be the one that's going to take up most of session next spring or next CJO, I guarantee you. They're going to. How many boards did we have, Jordan Page? 16, we found out? I think 13 or 16 boards we found out. We had like over, I can't remember how many speaker, was it like 90 board members? Yeah, so I'm just saying, let's get the data and start working on it. Congressman Keene, I'll support your legislation, but you got to really work on this, because it's going to be a hot topic, and what that looks like, I don't know, but I'm just saying I could see a problem coming. Thank you.
I have Congressman Keene and then APC.
So I'm going to just propose a hypothetical amendment, and I'll address Congresswoman Revard's thoughts. So what you would do is you just say, All boards and commissions shall receive compensation. Compensation shall be in the form of a stipend. That's it. That'd be in the law. And to answer her question, we have past performance. We have, like you said, yeah, there should be some kind of interim study. They come here. But then we do our jobs and we use our own discretion to see how much money you should get. So intuitively, we already know there's some boards that do a lot more work than others. That's just the harsh reality. We actually do our job and say, we think you should get this much money. That's it. That's what we would do. Because the way it does now, like I said, we have some boards that don't work near as hard as another board in a rigid box, and they get paid the same. Well, that's not fair either. You know what I'm saying? It's not. So that's basically how we would do it. You know, there's been a long gripe at us for retained revenue for a long time because it kind of cheats us of doing our job. Where, you know, sometimes people would say, all that money's got to come back into Treasury. We elected you. You know, we have the purse strings. We divvy up how this money gets distributed again. We have these retained revenue. That money just sits there. It makes it easier for us. So with this boards, yeah, it would be a lot of stress and time, but we would be doing our jobs then. We would use our own discretion and say, you work a little harder, you provided documentation, you provided conference meetings, blah, blah, blah. We're going to give you a little more money than this other board. That's fine. We're going to put this money in the budget. I'm saying we wouldn't have these boxes and classifications that would make it where we have to fund them like the same amount. We're going to get rid of that. But I'm not saying it's not going to be challenging. I think it is. But I'm saying in the aggregate, I think it's an easier way to do it than the way we do it now. So thank you.
APC.
Well, having been around for a while, and Congresswoman Whitehorn, Congresswoman Goodfox, or Chairwoman, you've been here longer than me even. So, I mean, you've watched all this transpire. A board, they can't give themselves a raise like the Minerals Council did. And truthfully, this body determines how much all boards, councils, commissions make. I mean, so that doesn't really apply. And it, like I told Congressman Keene earlier, the reason that we did this, because there was that confusion. Well, how come we're different than they are? How come, that's why those definitions were put in. So I'm hearing you, and I don't agree or disagree with you, truthfully. Because when Congress appropriates the money and they classify them, they put an amount that they're going to make. And it's settled and done. And this body decided it.
So, thank you, Assistant Principal Chief Walker, because I agree that it needs to be looked at. And at this point, we have boards that are just within the last 4 years have had different types of work that have come into play. But we do have a significant amount of boards. And at this point, even just at this point, right, with what we have, we spend over $1 million a year. $1 million a year just on boards. But what I don't like about what Congressman Keene has a suggestion is that it would be subject to every single year could be a different amount. And I don't think that board members would want to walk into that. I know that if I were being asked to be on the gaming board every single year, it being subject to something different wouldn't set well with me. And if I were on the tax commission board or the gaming commission board, which is a commission, not a board, but they're a board, just named commission, tax commission and gaming commission. You're saying that it would be subject to change every single year. Well, the way you've set it up and the way you've explained it,
is that, yeah, it would be. The only way to not allow for that to occur is to have some sort of a structure, and then a board member knows when they sign that, when they say, yes, I'm going to take this and go through the the confirmation process, I know what my compensation is as a board member, and I know what the board work entails. So the way that you explained it to me, and I think all of us, because I'm seeing head shakes of yes, it would be subject to Congress approving a budget, which yes, we approve a budget now. What I'm hearing is that we need to look at what the compensation is. We need to do a compensation study of the boards and the work that they do, and maybe reclassify some things and maybe move some numbers up. But I don't know that ditching non-definition or all the definitions and saying this is board members that serve on this board, X, Y, Z, this is what you're going to make. I don't know that I'm a proponent of just abandoning that completely, because we have a couple of boards that now some of us think that they need to be compensated more. That's where I'm kind of thinking, but furthermore, I don't know that we can address all of this in a 10 to 13 day special session either. That's where I'm at. Congressman King, go ahead.
Yeah, to clarify, so what I meant is we could remove these labels and still fund them like we do now, like as if the labels existed. What I'm saying is, because I was careful with my words, we can look at what we paid them in the past. We could just keep that flat, and we could just keep paying them the same amount. We just wouldn't classify them into these boxes. That's what I'm saying. We can pay them whatever we want, and we can keep it the same. We don't have to change anything. We just don't have to classify them like this anymore. That was my point. And we probably would, you know, when we budget things, we kind of follow the same year, maybe give them a little bump, inflation, merit, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it wouldn't be like we would just be stuck now and everything's just, no, we have patterns, you know, we just would remove these designations where we mandate paying them like that. But we would still follow, we would likely follow the past in paying them. I just would remove where we're legally mandated to pay them the same. You see what I'm saying?
No,
yeah,
I
see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, Congresswoman Rebar.
I'll go ahead.
Okay, Congresswoman Rebar doesn't want to, she doesn't have her comment. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I'm ready to move this unless there's more discussion that needs to be had.
No, I'm going to discuss if the chair will acknowledge me.
Well,
I've been having my hand up for a long time, before Congressman Keene and my
Congresswoman Rebar. I saw your hand up, and in the minute he was raising his hand, yes, I acknowledged him first. I thought he was going to have a response to directly my question, and you were next, but I'm allowing you to have comment. So either you do or you don't.
It was back with Congresswoman Whitehorn is when I raised my hand after, and then Assistant Chief. But I'm going to
Congresswoman Rebar, do you have comment or not?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then
no,
please.
No. You know what?
Please.
Then no.
No,
I don't.
Because I did acknowledge
you. I'm trying to have a conversation about this bill that is important. Like, I'm looking towards CEJO right now.
Yeah, we all are.
Okay.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Move to report ONCR 2412 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
Motion and a second. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no.
May I have a question, ma'am?
Yes.
Did you say 2412?
I did say ONCR 2412. That's what I have up. Oh, excuse me.
Am I wrong?
You are correct. I withdraw that motion, Madam Chair. I was on the previous year's, I have them all pulled up. I was on the previous year's compensation when I was reviewing it last night. It was up on, can I restate my motion? Move to report ONCR 2603 to Congress with a do pass recommendation.
Motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. Thank you. We are now on ONCR 26-02, a resolution to approve the Osage Nation Election Board rules and regulations governing elections in accordance with the Osage Nation Election Code. The sponsor is Congresswoman Lemon, and Congresswoman Lemon, I am going to allow for the election office to have the floor first.
Sounds perfect.
Alexis, are you there?
Good morning, committee. I have prepared some notes to go through and hopefully help explain some of the issues that came up yesterday. I will say that I didn't get any additional questions, so the notes I have prepared are only in regards to what got brought up yesterday. So there was a question regarding the need for the definitions of Congress and executive when they are not used anywhere else. But I do want to clarify that those definitions are used in Section 2C and E. In regards to the Political Action Committee, I want to point out that the language used in the definition is already current law. So even if this set of rules and regs didn't pass, the language would still be law. The only difference is it's not called a political action committee, but still appears in the ballot issue reporting requirements. When it comes to the code of ethics section, I understand that the ethics law established a process for complaints against elected officials, appointed officials, and employees, and they should be submitted to the Attorney General's office. But when we are in an election cycle, the board can act regarding violations of the election board rules and regulations faster. And the same rules would apply to all candidates instead of allowing some candidates the freedom they currently have to, for example, knowingly disseminate false, deceptive, or misleading information about other candidates or the election process. So, for instance, if a candidate has severely violated the rules and regs or has multiple violations, as a last resort, the board could refer to Rule 2, Section 5A, which states any candidate who commits a campaign violation may be disqualified, removed from the race, and his or her votes shall be considered void. The Attorney General can't do that, only the election board. As previously stated, that section would only be used as a last resort. But just as a reminder, the rules and regs do have an appeals process, which can be found in Rule 2, Section 5K. The campaign finance reporting deadlines, I know, is an issue. I wanted to touch on that as well. So now they are presented in a table similar to what this Congress passed in the election code for filing and election deadlines. That information is then put into a list posted for the public and given to candidates. But that table may seem difficult to understand at first glance, but it will make the deadlines consistent from one election year to the next. Instead of two reports being filed, one before election day and one after, the before election day report is being broken down into several smaller reports. We find that candidates have a harder time reporting the mass amount of information needed in the first report, which then leads to multiple reviews and bleeds into the voting days, which leaves voters not knowing anything in regards to the campaign finance reports. This way, the information will be reported all throughout the candidate's campaign in smaller increments. Additionally, we will be using an email distribution platform to get that information in the hands of the voters very quickly so they have the information prior to voting. When you look at the Rule 2, Section 2C Executive Candidate Deadline E7 and the Section 2E Legislative Candidate Deadline C4, which occur simultaneously, the reporting period starts 65 days prior to general election day, which is Saturday, March 28th, and runs through 38 days prior, which is Friday, April 24th. The report is then due 35 days prior, which is Monday, April 27th. To shorten that, the reporting period starts on Saturday, March 28th, ends Friday, April 24th, and the report is due Monday, April 27th. This makes the reporting period start on a Saturday, includes 28 days in the report, ends on a Friday, and gives the candidates a weekend to work on their report that is due on Monday. Any questions? I know that was a lot and really fast. I'm very sorry.
Okay, committee.
Madam Chair.
Congresswoman Lemon.
May I address Ms. Karen Counter directly? Thank you, Madam Chair. So thank you, Alexis, for being here again today, and thank you for some clarification on the current rules and regulations that are actually current right now. I just want you to back up to that part where you said that it's the name of the political, what did you say it's named currently?
Currently, I'm sorry, Chair, may I speak?
Yeah, go ahead.
So currently the definition language is found in the ballot issue reporting requirements. It is just not named anything.
Okay, so it doesn't actually have a name. So, all right.
We are just naming it.
So when we were looking, when I was looking at the red lines, Alexis, I can probably, I can't speak for anybody else, but when I was looking at the red line, I made the mistake of not putting it side by side. And so now I see when you add red with it doesn't have a mark through it, it means it's still, it's actually been in the rules and regulations prior to even these requested amendments. So that helped me a little bit. And I appreciate the example of the reporting, finance reporting period dates and then due dates. You and I visited briefly about helping our candidates understand this, these reporting dates. Did I remember correctly, and please correct me if I didn't, that when you guys are going to be doing your campaign, what is that called when you guys, after you get all the candidates together, training, you do a training. Will you be supplying those dates like you gave us just a few moments ago as an example for them? And if not, they will be able to call the office and get the exact dates from you.
We always provide a complete list of deadlines for candidates to follow. That, and actually, the rules and regs themselves require the forms to have the deadlines on them. So the report form, along with a separate list, will be provided to the candidates, along with being posted on our website to find for later use, along with being emailed to the candidates to find for later use. And they will all have reporting periods, start date, end date, and then the deadline that they have to meet.
Thank you very much for that, because I could honestly see somebody looking at this and then being like, well, I don't understand it. And so having that clarification and knowing that when we're getting ready to go to this next election, if these particular rules and regs pass, I can definitely refer and say you will be receiving and you can see an actual date for a deadline.
Yes. And it honestly, it's been our experience. Not a lot of candidates fully read the election code and rules and regs front to back to even understand a table like this or the deadlines and ask questions. So we make it make a big effort to make sure we have everything in a simple, easy to understand format for everybody.
Thank you, Ms. Alexis.
Committee, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Ms. Rencounter, I would like to compliment you guys on the material you guys do put out for candidates. It's full of dates and it's very informative for what you need to do. So I have a couple of questions here where we're discussing on these tables on page, well, the copy I'm looking at is page 14. So I'm just going to go down to the E portion that's marked C. So there's C1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so this is an increase in the number of reports candidates are going to be required to fill out. Is that a correct? Is that a correct assumption by looking at this table that that's the change? It's an increase in number of reports for Congress members?
Yes, instead of one, it's an increase in number of reports for everyone. Instead of one massive report, it will be broken down into 8 reports prior to Election Day for, I'm sorry, 5 reports prior to Election Day for Congress members. And those reports contain, depending on when your campaign starts, 9 or more days, which could include 365 if you announce that far in advance. And the next one would be 21 days in the report. And then the next 2 have 28 days in the report, and then 32. So it is broken down into very small increments of time for the candidates to manage. And we are hoping that that will make the reporting process easier for the candidates, as well as being able to release the information to the voters all throughout the campaign instead of just at the very end.
Can I continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's about mainly about, I have a lot of questions on this table. So each report that's filled out, C1 through C6, will all the information collected on each and every report be the same information? Or will one report ask for some information and the other report ask for different information? Because it's not clear. It's a campaign reporting statement. Are they going to be consistent? Is each one consistent in the information that you're going to be reporting?
The forms ask for the same information for every single report. Each candidate has different scenarios, and it's based on each candidate what they have to report. But yes, we do ask for all of the same information to be reported in every single report.
Okay, that may I continue?
Go ahead.
Yes, that was, thank you for answering that question, because that was one of the questions that I've looked at all those to see. What was my next question? I'll think of it in a minute. There was another one I had about it, but I'll let somebody else have the floor right now.
Committee, do I even have a quorum right now? Okay.
4.
Oh, Whitney's on. Okay. I think that the constituency will like the reporting, the more often reporting, because one of the I don't want to say complaints, but definitely something that people were discussing in the last election was the candidacy reporting form deficiencies, I guess, where mistakes were made and things weren't turned in on time, but the voters didn't know about it until after the ballot had been cast. And they just felt like, if I would have known, I mean, I heard from at least a few people that said, if I would have known that someone missed the deadline and they were an incumbent, or they missed this or didn't turn something in on time, or didn't have a good reporting form, that would have changed their, I guess they would have had more thought on who they would have cast a vote for. I did hear that. I don't know about anyone else. So I think, is that the, Alexis, is that the kind of the point for that? Is so that voters know more about the reporting forms, and the people turning stuff in on time or accurate? Is that the point, or what?
That is part of it. So voters should be able to be educated, informed about the candidates and their campaigns all throughout the entire campaign instead of just at the very last minute, with the risk of multiple reviews and not knowing, or absentee voters have already sent in their ballots. So with this, voters will be able to see each candidate's reports all throughout their campaign. The voters will get more information, which is what they deserve.
Okay, APC and then Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Alexis, would you explain again the electronic part? Right, I mean, so I guess, does the candidate have the ability to submit their report electronically and then the voters can see it, like on the website, or is that what you're talking about?
So our form will be in spreadsheet electronic format for the candidates to fill out and submit so that everyone's handwriting wasn't exactly legible in the last election cycle, which made things a little bit difficult to be able to read and reconcile things. So that having them fill the form out in a spreadsheet format and type their information in there will hopefully do away with that issue. And also allow us to run numbers and release them in a clean, uniform format on the website.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Mr. Encounter, I see the filing deadline. Report number, and then there's a filing deadline for that. And then I guess the reporting period is over to the right in the other table. My question is once the reporting period has closed, is the election office, is there a certain time that they're responsible for getting the reports back to the candidates? Because I think I experienced that during the last election cycle, that a report was submitted, but I didn't receive it back. Is there a date that the election office is required to get that report back to the candidate by in this new regulation as part of this?
I am unsure of what you mean by get it back to the candidate. It's the candidate's responsibility to submit their information and then we report it to the voters. Right, are you talking about the errors?
I'm talking about your review of the document before you post. Surely you'll review these documents before you post them or certify them in some way.
Yes.
And is there a date required? So say it ends report E6, the reporting period closes on the 66th day. Is the election office required to get that back to, or to check it and to communicate to the candidate, say on day 71? Is there a day that they can expect to get their report back so they can correct any errors or... because I believe that I didn't get some of my reports, one of my reports back one time.
So the reviews fall with the board.
Mm-hmm.
And that information, that it all falls in line with our board meetings. So reports are submitted on the deadline. We have to have time to review them. And then the board will meet and review them and determine if a candidate needs to be notified because they have multiple errors or whatever the case may be, they need to be fined. And then normally that same day, I try to send the information back out to the candidates because that notification triggers a 3 business day requirement for the candidate to resubmit their information without any errors. But no, there is no, the candidate reports by this deadline and the board has a requirement to review by this deadline. The board has a lot on their plate during elections, and this is a big part of it. And we try to fit board meetings in when we can to review these.
I do understand how busy your election cycle is and the board's load that they're responsible for, and it is a lot. So will these be would these campaign reporting statements, you would hold on to them until they received board approval before you would post that on the website? And or would you give them time to correct their campaign reporting statement if there is an error in them? Because I don't see any language about that in these rules and regulations, how that goes.
In previous years, we held on to the reports and didn't publicly post them until they were certified and error-free. Now, from where I sit, the voters should be able to see every document submitted by candidates that's going to be reviewed by the board. It's a public document. So the voters should be able to see your report, even if it has errors in it. And then they would be able to see any corrections or amendments that you make, an explanation for those errors. You're allowed that opportunity to explain yourself.
Congresswoman Lemon.
That is absolute transparency. Humans make mistakes on their reports. I make mistakes in my checkbook sometimes, y'all. And I don't know anybody else that has a perfect checkbook, but I make mistakes in my checkbook sometimes. I don't have a problem with that. I believe if you're going to put your name out there publicly, you're going to have all these things that you're going to have to report on. I've been fine. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person. If you can explain what happened in your errors, some people might be like, well, I don't know if they should have done that. I don't know if I'd explained it that way, but that's a person's personal take. But I do not have a problem with this particular topic and it being 100% transparent, because if there's one thing that we have with our elections is absolute transparency. I mean, we need to have it all the time anyway, but I'm just saying, especially with the temperature that are at our national level about elections being stolen and elections this and elections that, you know, I do not have a problem. So has anybody ever submitted something somewhere and it had an error in it? And if you say no, then I think you might be lying. We make mistakes. And I wouldn't be surprised if you have a candidate who has never ran before, doesn't really maybe understand it, thinks they understand it, submit it, and then Ms. Rencounter's board has to say, well, actually, you know, this doesn't work because our rules and regulations say this, and they might not have done their homework. But what we need to encourage any candidate to do is to give the election office a call, because they are absolutely 100% helpful, and they want you to have the success of submitting everything in the way that it needs to be submitted, and they will answer your questions. Thank you.
APC.
Yeah, I'm Congresswoman Lamone. You said you wanted to go by that today, but yeah, I'm glad you said that, because Alexis, you are very helpful, and you will grade the reports before we certify them. Well, to some extent. Oh, I guess you stopped. Or anyway, I'm not saying grade, but help. You're very helpful. Okay, well, so, Mike, I do have a question. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. I mean, I never had a giant report, unfortunately. But my question is, this is not interactive where you can see it as the candidate reports it, because, and you could have done it on a paper copy as well, but if you get a donation, why not just go ahead and either write it down? If this passes, you would put it in a spreadsheet instead, but you can't see that, right? In real life time. It's just correct. Our spreadsheet, and then we email it or bring it in.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else? Alexis, do you have anything else? Congresswoman, go ahead, Alexis.
I appreciate all the comment and all of the questions. I think this is the most discussion our rules and regs have probably ever had. So if this passes, I expect to see or hear just as much comment and question after this election year is over, when the board goes back and reviews these rules and regs again to further clarify and define the issues that were raised.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, there's two things that I want to say is when you opened up discussion about the tables, and I think that you understand they're a little bit difficult for the reader to understand, and you also made the comment that you guys do put out a full list with the dates on them, and I know that you've have done that, and you do that, and it's very helpful. As a legislator, I'm being asked to authorize this, and I understand the premise of it, but I am one of those people that do read through everything to make sure I understand how it works. I read through the rules of Congress, I know, at least three times before I took my seat, and maybe once even before I decided I was going to run for Congress, to see, okay, can I do this? When I was a candidate, I read through the election code, I read through the rules and regs, just because that's the kind of person I am. And as a legislator, I don't feel comfortable putting out something that most of us, when we look at it, say, I don't really understand that. And it's not in the rules and regulations how that's going to be reported to you. You do have in there that you, if you have mistakes, you have 3 days to correct it, which is good. But as a candidate, you don't know that they're going to publish your mistakes on the website. It doesn't say that in here. So that I still have some heartburn with that, although you gave us great explanations, Alexis, on how it's going to work. And I still do believe very strongly that on the ethics portion of this rules and regulation is still conflicting and highly problematic, because it seems like we have an ethics statutory law, and then some of those statutes are taken some of those clauses and sentences and principles are taken verbatim into the election code, and I think ethics is in our Constitution, that's statutory, and there's got to be due process. And I think our law lays that out, what the due process is. I'm not seeing the due process in this regulation. And I still think it's highly problematic to put it in our rules and regulations. It election conduct might be a different thing, and not absolutely lift verbatim the ethics code. I think that's what's problematic. So I personally think some work needs to be done on that. So those are my comments today. Thank you, Alexis, for filling us in on this. And thank you, Chairwoman, for letting me speak.
Anyone else? Well, everyone knows what they need to do. There's either action or no action.
Yes, ma'am. Motion to report ONCR 2602 to Congress with a due pass.
Second. Motion and a second. Discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any no. opposed? Any opposed say no?
No, I'm a no.
You said it before I asked, though. One no. Next item on the agenda is adjournment.
Second. Thank you for your time.
All those in favor say yes. Any opposed say no. We're adjourned.